second in yards. Right now there's no tarp on the field. They're not expecting rain. It's just a little damp right now after they watered down the dirt. There is a tarp, of course, on the mound and on home plate, but this thing looks ready for baseball tomorrow in way less now than 24 hours. And we're joined by Jeff Zrebeck, Ravens beat writer for the Baltimore Sun. And Jay-Z, thank you so much for coming on.
No, my pleasure, Brett. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Let's start with the Ravens. What did John Harbaugh say exactly about the Orioles?
Yeah, John Harbaugh said he's noticed the sparse media crowd at the Under Armour Performance Facility. And, you know, said, we'll deal with that if that means the Orioles are, have something going on. Harbaugh said that, you know, he's been in contact with Buck Showalter, and they're sort of hoping he could come out this morning at some point and maybe talk to the team a little bit. But Buck obviously has things to do. You know, John's a Michigan guy. His whole family are big Michigan sports fans. But John saying he's pulling for the Orioles. However, he acknowledged certain other family members aren't quite there yet. His wife's a huge Tigers fan.
That's amazing. By the way, you cover both coaches slash manager very closely in your career. Do you see any similarities between the two, Showalter and Harbaugh?
In terms of, I think so. You know, the intensity, the preparation, the thinking, you know, Buck, and this isn't a slight to John Harbaugh at all, but Buck's in a different league when it comes to, you know, lining up everything and thinking of everything and coming up with any theory. I think any coach or manager, you know, in college, pros, I'd be hard-pressed to compare them in that way to Buck Showalter, but you're talking about two very prepared, two very bright guys who, you know how to motivate and prepare a team.
Yeah, they're definitely two guys who, and I say this with not a touch of sarcasm, but a touch of humor as well, that are probably pretty paranoid. They would never, John Harbaugh is a great athlete. Buck Showalter was a really, really good minor league player. I don't want to take anything away from their athletic abilities and skills. They're really upper echelon. But in the world they live in, John Harbaugh never played in the NFL. Buck Showalter got tantalizingly close with the Yankees to be, you know, a legitimate major league player. It didn't happen. But these were never guys that people said, oh, that guy, he's going to be a superstar in the big leagues one day. You know, there are a lot of managers and coaches like Jim Harbaugh out there or Clint Hurdle out there today with the Pirates that have been those types of guys. I think that chip on their shoulder, it kind of carries with them.
Yeah, there's no question. They fight for their organization. They fight for their team. You mentioned the word paranoid. I mean, any perceived slights that they have, they're certainly aware of, you know, that they feel around the league, or if someone's not treating their team in a certain way, you're certainly going to hear about it. You know, they're very loyal and very, you know, they understand how it is, but they make sure their organization is getting proper due and not getting sort of the bum shaft here. So, you know, the two guys, they got to know each other a little bit after last season. I think it was after, it's either last season or the year before, Buck came and spent some time with John at the Ravens facility, you know, and they changed numbers, Buck, you know, recently, and you know, John texted Buck, you know, to congratulate him on the Orioles' success. It's cool, man. I mean, you know, you saw it when the Ravens can put up on the scoreboard, congratulations, American League East champion, and the roar of the crowd. I mean, that stuff's awesome. You know, that stuff's awesome, especially after years where, you know, there wasn't two teams having a high level of success in the city at the same time. There's nothing that beats that atmosphere. You know, two teams pulling together, the fans into it, everybody's excited. I mean, you can't beat that. I hope this is, you know, more of the regular occurrence than, you know, an isolated incident at this time of year.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I mentioned, and I don't know if you even had a chance to see it, Jeff, but in the baseball playoff preview today in the Baltimore Sun, the Ravens bought a page advertisement congratulating the Orioles. I thought that was pretty cool, too.
Well, that's awesome. I did not see that, but I do know, you know, at the facility today, a bunch of Ravens players were filming a video of encouragement, support to the Orioles. Joe Flacco was involved, and Torrey Smith was involved, and Bernard Pierce just telling the Orioles, we're behind you, we're rooting for you. I mean, it is a topic of conversation. You know, the people on the football side are really focused on what they have to do, but these guys are very aware of what's going on with their, you know, their neighborhood and their neighbors, you know, in the stadium. So they're, you know, I don't know about everyone. Some people aren't huge baseball fans, but there's plenty of guys in that building that are, you know, pulling for the Orioles.
Jeff Zarebek, Ravens beat writer for the Baltimore Sun, is with us here on WBAL News Radio 1090, former Orioles beat writer for a long time for the Baltimore Sun. And, Jeff, I do want to ask you some Ravens questions, but if I could ask you a few more questions about your time covering the Orioles, and you covered and wrote a lot of game stories after losses for a long period of time, and you did it with a lot of professionalism, a lot of class. You were, you know, considered one and are considered one of the great beat writers for any paper in any sport, but it wasn't easy, I know, for you, and you cover a lot of managers that didn't hang around too long. Did you have any sense, and I remember being at Buck's introductory press conference, that this would be different? I mean, really, going back to that August day in 2010, that this would actually get turned around?
I was skeptical, Brett, because for so long we had heard about all these young pitchers and all these prospects who were supposed to come up and be the, you know, the backbone of a championship Oriole team, and then they got up and they either got injured or they just weren't any good. You know, the Hayden Penns of the world and the Adam Lowens, and, you know, the list goes on and on. And it's just like, when is this going to turn around? When is this going to change? You know, the Yankees and the Red Sox back when I was covering it were as powerful as ever. The Rays were, you know, in the midst of their run of developing, you know, player after player. So it just wasn't, it didn't look good. So I was skeptical. But there's no doubt I was sold on Buck from the very beginning. I mean, how can you not be? I covered the Orioles for about 6 years. And, you know, this is no slight to the guys before it, the managers before him. I learned plenty from each, but I learned more about baseball in the short period of time covering Buck Showalter. You know, we're talking less than a year. We're talking more months rather than a year than I did at any point in my, you know, journalism career. I mean, you can only nod if you just listen to him, if you pull him aside for different conversations. You know, it's just how he thinks and the things he picks up on that you don't even think about. So I knew, you know, for so long, you know, I'm not saying, again, this isn't a criticism of previous managers, but they needed what Buck Showalter brought, you know, into the organization. They needed a micromanager. They needed a guy that was going to go over every detail and leave no stone unturned and be the face of the franchise to stand up to the media and say, you know what, things are different. And to be the guy that was going to go antagonize the Boston Red Sox and New York Yankees and say, you know what, we're not going to lay down anymore. You're going to have, you know, you're going to have your issues with us. You have to deal with us now. And they so badly needed it. And you got the sense right away with Buck Showalter that things were going to be different. And you know what? He was going to do it his way. I mean, I never forget. The organization wanted Robert Andino gone so bad, you know, when I was kind of toward the tail end of my beat. He was getting ejected from games down in the minor leagues. He was an attitude problem. But you know what? Buck said, let me take a look at this kid. I want to see him play first before we completely release him. And you know what? He made an impression on Buck. Buck talked to him and tried to, you know, get him on the same page. And Dino played some good baseball for the Orioles down the stretch there. And he obviously got that huge hit that, you know, that sort of jump-started all this, sort of started building some momentum of all this. So, you know, it was pretty remarkable. You had a feeling that he was going to do it his way and he was going to give it a go. You just didn't know because there's so much negative around the team and there have been so many failures. You just didn't know if he was going to be able to pull it off.
Yeah, it's actually crazy to think about because not only was the team so bad, there was this kind of culture of losing that just gripped everything about the club and the park or in the park and the fans and the entire organization. And he was exactly, as you put it, Jeff, just what they needed at the right time. And my thing is, clearly, guys like Britton, Mattis, Tillman, Jones, Davis, Hunter, some guys were here when he got here, some not. I'm not certain if those guys realized their potential and maximized their potential with another person in charge. I mean, a lot of prospects come and go. Some make it, some don't. But I think he creates an environment that is most conducive to guys maximizing whatever they have. And maybe if Manny Machado came along in the Dave Tremblay era, no knock on Dave, or the Sam Perlazzo era or Ray Miller era, maybe it never happens for Manny. I don't know.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think people see how prepared he is, how into it and you know, how he'll fight for his players, he'll fight with them, with the GM, with the owner, with the umpire, with the opposition. He's going to take care of you if you put in the work, and he's going to give you every, you know, every resource, every piece of knowledge that you need to win a ball game that night. And, you know, I don't think he'd mind me saying this, but I remember the first day when they announced that, you know, the press release came out that Buck Showalter was going to be the manager of the Orioles. They were in Kansas City. Juan Samuel was the interim manager. You know, obviously I was getting reaction from the players that they had just hired Buck Showalter. And you know what? Adam Jones wouldn't talk. He would not speak to the media that day. Mm. He was obviously angry. He had heard Buck's reputation as a micromanager. He wasn't thrilled. He loved Juan Samuel. He had a great relationship with him. I think he was sick of the nonsense of, you know, the constant who's going to manage and the, you know, just the lack of stability. And it's just how Buck is. I think Buck has changed a lot in his earlier in his career, but, you know, I think he really quickly gained players' respect because they know how prepared he was. They knew that they were not going to get outmanaged. I mean, you look at it, and every night, which is more than anything you could say, Buck Showalter puts the best 25-man roster together for that night to win that particular game. And that attention to detail, that focus on the present, that making everything about winning that night has never been in that organization since I started covering it. And, you know, I think he won the players over with that.
Jeff, you covered Nick Markakis' rise to the big leagues, his big contract, a lot of losing with Nick. What do you think his thoughts are tonight before he goes to bed?
He's an excitable guy. I mean, don't be fooled by his lack of emotions. You know, as you well know, you know him well enough. He's got to be, you know, he's got to be thrilled, you know, and just excited. Not, you know, good for, you know, baseball that they get to see this guy on the bigger stage. Obviously, a bunch of teams in the AL East know that he's been a solid player, and it's not like he's not a well-known guy around the league, but, you know, he's earned this. He was loyal to the team. They were loyal to them, to him, by giving him the contract they did. And you know, I remember him. You know, he met with Peter Angelos that one time. He had dinner with him just to kind of express him, you know, frustration with Peter about how poor things were going, and how we need to turn this around, and I want to be here to help turn this around. And at the time, he was so uncomfortable doing it. You have a conversation with Nick, and unless you know him, it can be an uncomfortable conversation. Not because he's a bad guy. He just can be a little awkward sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's a different cat, as my colleague Connolly wrote today in that nice piece on him and Jones. And, you know, for him to kind of take that step and to go to Peter Angelos and have a sit-down dinner with him in Little Italy and say, "We this needs change. I want to be here, but I want you to know how I feel." I think that showed you how much he cares. And, you know, I'm sure these last couple months, when it became clear they're going to make the playoffs, I'm sure this has been a great time for him, and he thought a lot about how dark some of those days were, and this never happening.
Great insight from Jeff Zerebeck on the Orioles. Jay-Z, a couple of Ravens questions. One, the health right now of Terrell Suggs.
He said he's fine, Brad. He says he's going to be all right. I mean, we'll see here. I don't want to say he's definitely a go. He's been dealing with a little bit of a groin injury. I think it got progressively worse during the game against the Panthers. He's not out there. I don't expect him to see him out there much at all this week. I think it's going to take a lot to, you know, for him to miss this game against one of his former defensive coordinators, Chuck Pagano, and, you know, big stage game against Andrew Luck. But we'll see. They're not going to make any stupid decisions. I think he'll be one of those, you know, sort of be a game time decision.
Do you think Lardarius Webb plays this weekend?
Whoa. I think he probably tries to give it a go, yes. But, you know, I got to be honest. I mean, we don't see enough of practice to see how he's moving around. I would think, you know, he's been practicing now for about 6 weeks. At some point, it has to get to the point where, look, this isn't going to change much. What is his deal? Can we count on him? And is he going to be able to help us? And they're going to have to make a decision. They still haven't given up on him helping them this year. So I think, you know, going to be all hands on deck in trying to stop that offense and that passing attack. And I just don't know that you can continue to go with, like, Matt Elam as the nickel cornerback. That's not a good recipe when you're trying to face Andrew Luck. But nor is a limited and a slow web. So we'll see. We'll see how he comes across this practice. But they're hopeful. They're hopeful that he'll be ready to go and he'll be much closer to the Lardarius Webb of old than he's been these last couple of weeks.
Great insight from Jeff Zrebeck on the Ravens and the Orioles. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate it.
My pleasure, Brett. Enjoy the next couple of days.
All right, you too, buddy. That's Jeff Zrebeck, Ravens beat writer for the Sun, former Orioles beat writer for the Baltimore Sun, who just has tremendous insight on what happened here and then the transition that took place. We'll come back to Camden Yards in a moment here on WBAL News Radio 1090.